I thank you for your welcome.
We look forward to having your answers again to our questions, some of which have been prepared for you. But do you wish to open with prayer first?
We can begin. And we will finish with a blessing.
Thank you. And the questions I would like Thomas tonight, if I may, all have relevance because of the constant controversy in our physical world. Some I appreciate you may not be able to answer fully, others you may prefer not to answer. This I do understand. But I just have to accept what you give us with gratitude. The first question is that is frequently discussed in this world, that Jesus was not in fact crucified, that he somehow escaped to the Near East or Middle East and lived out his life there. There are various other theories, and it is thought that the crucifixion death was fabricated, as many other things were, because it was the most heinous form of punishment appropriate in that time. If you can give us information, I'd appreciate it.
You have asked more than one question.
Yes, I have, unfortunately.
Yes, I understand. Let me try to elaborate for you.
Thank you.
We are aware of the many stories that have circulated your earth. Jesus the Christ was, in fact, crucified, as was the punishment at that time.
Thank you.
It was not an unusual form of death. It happened to many. But we understand the stories of escaping to other lands. We understand the stories that have circulated. Let me say, Jesus the Christ traveled to many lands not mentioned in your Bible. The full story of his life has not been fully written. He indeed traveled east. In fact, he traveled as far as India, came back and traveled through many lands to give his teachings.
Yes.
But he was, in fact, crucified at the time you are speaking of.
So in that sense, the Bible is correct.
In that sense, you are correct.
Okay. Now another question which is often mooted here, and it's usually followed by a statement that cannot be a God, otherwise he wouldn't allow these things to happen. And I refer to natural calamities such as earthquakes, disastrous floods, tornadoes, and other violent aspects of nature. You did say at our last meeting that there are guardians for all natural things on this earth.
Yes, I did.
Yes. And thinking over your answers, this is what prompts my question tonight. Is it possible for the guardians to make mistakes which create these havocs? Or is it a method of reducing the population for various reasons?
Firstly, let me say, why does the God, and I use the term loosely,
yes.
Why does God take the blame for all these natural disasters?
I can't understand that. So I'm hoping to get some clarification which will disabuse people's minds of this.
Let me explain simply. You are placed on this earth as a learning place. As I mentioned previously, the earth, the tool, is in a very, very minor part of the cosmic teaching house, if you like.
Yes.
Therefore, as you humans can make mistakes, so too occurs disasters within the vibrational forces of the earth. You are not correct to say the guardians of these natural things make mistakes.
I couldn't understand them doing so, but that I have to ask.
That cannot happen.
I see.
The natural laws cannot be broken by you, by us, or by anyone else.
Yes.
Let me put it this way to you. Your earth is naturally evolving. As you too make mistakes, so can the formation of the earth crust. It all comes down to the vibrational forces of the earth. That is why you have your earthquakes, you have your floods. They are natural disasters. Nothing more.
Yeah.
No blame to anyone.
Right.
Or to God.
Just a natural part of the development of the physical earth.
It is the natural part of your earthly evolution.
Yes. So it is incidental then that humanity should be allowed to develop upon an imperfect earth.
That is the scheme. That is the plan. You cannot be upon a perfect earth.
I see.
Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
The imperfections of humanity and the earth as a whole is the scheme. That is the scheme. That is God's plan.
It is not the plan.
You wish to say that. Yes. It cannot be changed, it cannot be altered.
No. So in that case then, when people say God is to blame for these things, they are correct. They are not correct in saying it cannot be a God, otherwise it would not happen. Am I right? If one is going to attribute blame anywhere, if the plan is God's, I'm not being sacrilegious, I'm just trying to discover the answer to these things.
You cannot be sacrilegious. Let me answer this for you. I will try to simplify it.
Thank you.
You can only apportion blame when the blame lies in a particular area.
Yes.
You are looking upon a God. You are trying to personalize God.
Yes, I see.
There is no such God.
Of course not.
All laws are natural. They cannot be broken. They cannot be changed. They are, and they always will be. That is not to say they are perfect. By using the word perfect, I don't mean it in your earthly term. Am I being clear?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
What is perfect?
Quite.
Your definition of perfect means, am I correct, that nothing can go wrong?
Yes, that would be a correct definition. And of course, I have often said that perfection lies only in a person's thought.
That is true. Again, we get to explanations which are difficult to put to you because of your understanding. All these natural things happen. There is no blame. You cannot apportion blame to God, to anyone else.
Because there is no existence to
Yes, you have said the words correctly. That is exactly so. You cannot apportion blame.
So therefore,
there will always be natural disasters. You cannot have otherwise.
No.
The earth is not a perfect place as you would wish to see it.
But it is a melting pot for the, I have thought in the past of trying to explain that it is a melting pot for the development of the spiritual self of the people inhabiting the earth at the time of those disasters. Like any disaster, and the wars too often, to use our expression, bring out the best in people.
Let us talk of disaster. The soul comes into its own in troublous times. Thank not God when all things are well, but when you have troubles, when you have woe, because spiritually that is when the soul grows.
Yes.
We know you find it difficult to accept all these disasters. The earthquakes, the floods, the loss of life in wars. I can only say it is the plan, it is the scheme of things. I cannot explain to you in earthly terms that would make you understand.
No, I said that.
But it has to happen. It is something that will make all those people, who are involved in these so-called disasters come into their own.
Yes. So one could say that they are, or one could assume that they might, well, let me put it that way, has to be born for the sake of acknowledgement of one's own spiritual being, because of the kindness that can be shown in such disasters to other people.
I have said the earth is a learning point.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the people who are involved in disasters, but all of you left, you all learn from it.
Right.
I know it is difficult to understand. We are questioned very often on these matters.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
What in your world?
On your earth.
On our earth. Mm-hmm. Remember, in other places, other times, yes. I follow.
Yes. I can only say to you, with more awareness will come more knowledge.
All right. And this is I do accept, and this is partly behind my questioning now, so my colleagues here can know the answers to things which I'm sure, to questions which I'm sure they have put over their own lives at various times. And your answers will be interesting to them, I know.
But you cannot apportion blame.
No, of course not.
To God.
Mm. I have tried to explain that much of what you have said, that it is a necessary part of the scheme of things, not only when people have talked about the suffering of a particular person. I have said, forget that particular person, child, whatever it might be, and think of the reaction upon the parents when the child dies. They have to find other depths in themselves to cope with it.
You will only find the answer when you have a wider view,
yes,
of what is going on.
That I can understand.
I cannot answer more clearly.
No, thank
than
you.
That for you. No. I only wish I could, but the limitations of your understanding make that impossible.
Yes, I do accept that. We are so limited in our understanding.
But we understand the feeling and the distress that these things cause you.
Mm, yes. Now, a question entirely different from another track altogether. Now, scientists, as you probably know, visited that the Earth, that the universe started as a Big Bang, they call it, I won't go into that. But they've comparatively recently come to the conclusion that it is an expanding universe. Now, that I can accept quite easily. You, what you have told us before about the galaxies of which we have no knowledge. So can one assume from the scientific evidence that they now have, or say they have, that it is going to be a constant expansion of the universe?
How can they know?
I agree.
How can they know the whole of the universe?
And this is what comes the question.
They are correct in part.
Mm-hmm.
What they are talking about is a very small part of the whole.
Yes.
Let us take a few grains of sand within a circle. Let us take another group of circles with grains of sand.
Yes.
What happens when the wind blows in the one section of the grain of sand? Do they not blow and make the circle expand?
Yes.
Yes, they do. And that is what the scientists are seeing now,
mm-hmm,
within your own galaxy. But they cannot possibly know what is happening in the whole of the universe. Their knowledge too is very, very limited.
I'm sure it is. So,
as an analogy, must explain it simply to
yes.
you.
Oh yes, it does explain it. So, we can have no conception of the magnitude of the universe as a whole.
Of course not. No.
But the only explanation that could be accepted perhaps is that it is constantly expanding, even beyond what our scientists can visualize.
Yes. Yes. Movement, vibration.
And yes, energy again.
Energy, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, you have it, my friend. Mm-hmm. Yes, it is always moving. It is never static.
As you emphasized last time, the energy and thought are the two dominating factors, like in that expression.
Yes. Yes. That is the true expansion.
Mm-hmm. And which, of course, is unlimited.
Yes.
There can be no confines on it.
There can be none at all.
Yeah. Difficult to assimilate, but nevertheless true, and it must be accepted.
Yes, I ask you only to accept within your own boundaries of understanding.
Yes. Quite.
Has that satisfied your question?
Yes, thank you very much. I'd better let somebody else ask one. I think I have others, but I mustn't bereave you of your time. Would anybody else like to ask a question?
Could I ask a question that follows from your crucifixion question? There have been a number of visions recorded concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus, and there would appear to be visionary and other evidence that she travelled after the crucifixion to a place called Ephesus and spent her last days there, where she lived on the top of a pine-clad mountain. Can you confirm that? Ephesus in Turkey, that is the country that is now Turkey.
Let me say, as I have said, Jesus the Christ travelled far and wide, Turkey being one of those countries that was widely travelled, not only in his adult years, but in his younger years. Mary, his mother, would also have known of these places. And yes, I can tell you, she did travel there, but she did not end her days there.
Is that your question?
No, thank you.
Anybody else? Great.
Yeah.
You have one, George?
Yes, perhaps continuing the question regarding the expanding universe. I see that we can only have knowledge of a very tiny part. It would appear from our examination of the light that travels to us from the distant galaxies that our part of the universe, the part that we may observe, is expanding, and a limiting factor in our knowledge would be the speed of light itself.
Is
that a clear picture, that the speed of light is bound to limit our conception of the universe. Can you say any more on that?
Yes. That's when you say you are indeed limited by what you know and understand. There are other galaxies. Let me say this to you. How do you suppose there were space travelers or are space travelers if they do not travel quicker than the speed of light, as you know it?
Thank you.
Yes.
That must answer your question simply and straightforwardly.
I have had that opinion for many, many years, that there are unknown vibrations, if we can call them that, far beyond our conception, and the speed of light is not the ultimate speed.
The speed of light is only the Earth's conception of speed.
Yes,
yes.
There are many things which the Earth is not aware of as such, but you will become more and more knowledgeable in these matters as time progresses.
And beings who are able to travel faster than the speed of light would be concerned with a more rarefied state of matter than atoms and molecules with which we on Earth would be more familiar.
They indeed operate on a much higher vibration than you at present understand. Yes, that is true.
Thank you.
Nothing from you, Brent?
Well, yes. Questions. Mm-hmm. It's always, I have a certain amount of training, I suppose, in philosophy, but I'm not asking the question just to be tricky. But everyone here uses the term spiritual, you use it quite a lot. And surely, if you know what is spiritual, then you must be able to contrast it with things which are not spiritual. And I just wonder if you could clarify the term spiritual. We equate it in a simple-minded way of doing something that's good, or perhaps doing something that's unselfish. And could you say a few more words about the meaning of spiritual?
Let us take one step backwards. Let us not say spiritual, but spirit. What is spirit? It is the very essence of life. It is all that you can conceive. Spirit is the very breath of your being. Therefore, spiritual, I would say to you, is indeed the ultimate goal that you search for in goodness. And yes, you must always have the opposite. Spiritual is what each individual conceives to be good. Good, the very highest degree of goodness for them. And here we get to difficulties because each individual is different. Their idea of goodness varies. Am I making sense?
Yes, that's why you have the problem with ethical relativism. There are those who say basically that anything goes, but I don't believe that myself. So the question is, if it's not true that anything goes, how do people find what is the right path, what is the good thing to do?
The right path, the right thing to do can be found in your very quiet, meditative moments when you will be inspired, if you like, as to what is good and what is right and what, as you term, is spiritual. You all have an innate knowledge of what is good and what is wrong. It is all within each of you, that knowledge. How you use that knowledge depends upon each one of you and your own judgment.
Thank you. That confirms what I have frequently said. It is within us for us to be aware of.
I have another question.
Yes, Mr. Kieran?
Of course. during rescues, it's quite often said that the soul will probably be counseled and helped to overcome problems to do with the transition from death, physical death, and then will go on to learn in various ways. But you've also said that we are here to learn. And so I'd be interested to know, what is the distinction between things we learn here, and why do we have to come here to learn them, versus the things that we presumably will learn as the soul progresses later?
Yes. Let me place it back to you. Why would you place a 5-year-old in a junior school? And why would you place a teenager in a higher grade? Because simply of their understanding. You must start somewhere. When the soul is here on the earth plane, as we have said before, it comes for a particular purpose, to learn particular lessons, if you like. Only that soul knows what it needs to learn. But you are all endowed with free will. Let me take you back to the class of the 5-year-olds. You have a group of children. You have a teacher. Some of those children will be eager to learn the lessons they are being taught. You may have another group who are slow, whose understanding fails them. Therefore, already you have the differences. And then you may just have the naughty child who refuses to accept any discipline at all. So too, when you leave the earth plane, there are these varying differences amongst the people. Some come to us with awareness, as you all will, when your time comes. You have knocked on the door, if you like. There are others who perhaps want to believe, but won't allow themselves. And there again, you have the others who plainly refuse to believe in anything at all. Therefore, the last group are the ones who need to be rescued. Are you following me?
Yes.
They are the ones who have learned very little. They are the ones who need to be helped, who need to be shown the correct pathway. So, it is much more difficult for them to begin again, as it would be your teenager being placed in a higher stream of education and expected to start from the very beginning. Do you see the difficulties there?
Yes.
So, in the rescue work, it is sometimes necessary to return that soul through a physical being to have an explanation, as you are all aware, as you already have done this work. The explanation needs to be done in physical terms. It may take a long, long time for them to be encouraged or counseled, to use your words. As I have said, no one suddenly changes when they come to our world. They still retain their free will. They still retain all of their feelings, all of their prejudices. All remains the same. So, in our world, as in yours, some move on more quickly than others. It all depends on the soul.
So, are we correct in assuming in a simplified way that this is the starting point for us, for most of us? Remembering that you said that occasionally souls will come back again, but for most of us this is the first step?
This is the beginning of your learning process, yes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
May I ask another question? I hear of your concern for your instruments.
Yes.
Yes, we are concerned for her this time.
Right, then I'll defer the question until next time. Thank you.
You can ask one more before we close.
One more. Right. There are beliefs, as you well know, held by people who will not knowingly kill even ant or other insect, lest they should have to return to this earth in the guise of that insect. I can't believe for one minute that it would be necessary for anybody to return in what we call a lower form of life once they have become here as a human.
I am sorry if I smile. Mm-hmm. Yes, no, that does not happen.
I couldn't imagine it.
What would be the point of evolving if you would to take a step backwards?
Yes.
No, that is not the case.
No, I have always denied it emphatically that it would be necessary or even possible.
It is it is a belief of many, we know, but we are trying to put these things in their proper perspective.
Mm-hmm.
It is difficult to break the thoughts and ideas of mm-hmm. many lifetimes.
Right, and again, it is misteaching by those responsible.
I would have to say, if that was the case, you would be overrun by insects.
Yes, we could.
Well, we are, and you have to be there to
Well, we do appreciate your being with us and the information you've given. Now, I leave you if you would be kind enough to finish with prayer.
I have one more thing. I wish to speak to the young gentleman.
Yes. Which one? Andy.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You with us, Andy?
It matters not to you, compared to
him. Yes, I do.
Here we have a great potential.
Good, I thought you had.
I want you, if you will, and if he is willing, to help him to develop. There is much we can get through this one.
Certainly.
But, of course, as we have spoken earlier, free will comes into this.
Yes.
But we don't intend to let him go.
Right. No, I thought he had potential.
But can I leave that with you?
Yes, please do.
And now...
Thank you for telling me.
I want to close.
Thank you.
Eternal Spirit, we thank you once more for this gathering, for this meeting of like souls. I thank you for using me as your vessel to speak amongst them. I ask that a blessing be placed on each and every one, that they safely be returned to their homes this evening, that your light and your love look over them until we meet again. God bless you all.
God bless you too. Amen.